Welcome back to Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. We are discussing now the Western Conference matchups of the first round of the 2013 NBA playoffs. We have a lot of interesting matchups in the Western Conference. Every single one is going to have a lot of great storylines, and we really want to talk about them. But first, we want to give you what teams we think have a chance at the championship from the Western Conference, because that is, of course, what is most important. We have the Oklahoma City Thunder at number one. Number two, we have the San Antonio Spurs. Three, the Nuggets. And four, the Clippers. Are those the four teams that you think, Bobby, are going to win the championship or have a chance to win the championship? Or do you have an expanded list?
Well, when you say win the championship, I don't expect Denver to win this year's NBA title. Even with a healthy Gallinari, that would not be my prediction. But there's certainly a contender in the West. As is, I think you need to expand that list to the Memphis Grizzlies. I think they have a shot with their defense. And then there's a dark horse candidate. They had an awful year. There is nothing statistically to back this up, and they don't have Kobe Bryant. The Los Angeles Lakers. Would it really just absolutely shock everyone? Maybe the answer to that is yes. But there's still that glimmer of hope in Los Angeles that they can upset the Spurs, which I'll go on record as saying I do not expect to happen. But there's a chance of that. There's a chance of them pulling another upset in the second round. And once they're in the Western Conference Finals, they're only one series away from making it to the championship. So, like I said, abysmal season. They did not do well against the playoff competition in the West. They don't have Kobe Bryant. But there's that glimmer of hope in Hollywood that they can somehow pull this out.
It's very interesting. This Lakers team, top 10 in effective field goal percentage this season. But obviously you can't say that this team is a team that's ready to make it to the championship. But they have that crazy feeling because of all the nice things that happened to them at the end of the season that they were able to do so well without Kobe. I understand where you're coming from. But my list is compiled just with three and maybe four teams. I've never talked about the Clippers as a team that's good for the finals. But I think that excitement in L.A. is actually going to come from the Clippers as opposed to the Lakers. I think the Clippers make some movements. They're going to end up being close to it. But, of course, my teams are the Thunder, the Spurs, and the Grizzlies. Those are the three teams that I'm focusing on. I love the Grizzlies' defense, second best in the NBA to the Pacers. Then you have the Oklahoma City Thunder. Their only loss at home when having a lead going into the fourth quarter was on the last night of the season. There was no Kevin Durant. 32-0, that Thunder team, when heading into the fourth quarter with a lead at home. They have tremendous fans in Oklahoma City, and obviously they are my favorite to make it to the finals. I'm guessing they are for you as well, because this Spurs team is so hobbled and have to lean on Duncan, who is playing amazing for his age, but you can't lean on him too much with injuries and hobbled players as far as Parker and Ginobili go. And that's why I think Memphis is going to end up facing off in the second round against Oklahoma City. Unfortunately, those are my two favorite teams, but I think Memphis is your best shot, your second best shot, and making it to the finals to the Thunder, even though they will face off in that second round.
San Antonio, it's a combination of injuries, and I don't think they have the ability to keep up with some of the more athletic teams in the West, particularly the Thunder. Oklahoma City, the trio of Kevin Martin, Russell Westbrook, and Kevin Durant scores more than any other trio in the league. Serge Ibaka has come a long way offensively this season and really expanded his range. He is much more of a factor on offense than he was last year, where he was much more of a defensive presence. And you look at they've got some nice pieces on the bench. They've got Thabo Sefolosha as a good perimeter defender. And then you look at the Memphis Grizzlies, and they certainly can come out of the West. They are very good defensively. But where they struggle is half-court offense. Per 100 possessions, they score 101.7 points. That's 18th in the league. Tayshaun Prince is a guy who just spots up and stands in the corner, sometimes on the wing. Tony Allen is not someone. His game is getting to the basket, but he doesn't do that at an effective level. Mike Conley is a distributing point guard, not a scoring point guard. They do have Jared Bayless, who's been solid from beyond the arc. And then they run it their offense primarily through Randolph and Gasol, who are both very skilled, very effective big men who are also good passers. But they just don't have the scoring from the wings to be able to make it out of the Western Conference.
It's a very interesting point because this Memphis team, in my opinion, improved on both the offensive and defensive end of the floor without Gay. Since they traded Rudy Gay, they have actually been one of the best teams in the NBA. It's amazing what this team has done. They dominated the Jazz and showed how well they've been playing. I think they only have two losses since Gay has left at home this season. It's huge that they've been able to do so well. And although Bayless does not have the playoff experience, he's just played 8 games in his career in the playoffs. I think he comes up big for them, scoring and helping them on the front, the back court. You have in the front court, as you said, two of the best big men in the league. And I think that's the reason. Consistent offense from those guys is going to be huge. And I think that's going to allow them to beat the Clippers in the first round and have a good shot at having at least putting a scare into the Thunder in the second.
I'm incredibly excited for that Clippers-Grizzlies series. That's going to be another war, just an absolute battle. And something I'd like to point out about Memphis at the offensive end, they have the 8th worst true shooting percentage in the league at 51.4. And when it becomes a half-court game, you can run it through Gasol and Randolph, no doubt. But they need to be able to have guys you can kick it out to who can get to the basket and hit threes. And Tayshaun Prince is not as good of a three-point shooter, though he still can hit from downtown, not the same as he used to be a couple years ago. Jared Bayless has gone on cold streaks during the season. Mike Conley and Tony Allen, that's not their game, and neither one is extremely efficient at getting to the basket. So they have a lot of concerns for me in the half court.
Well, keep in mind, and I'm going to add to your killing of the Memphis Grizzlies here, their effective field goal percentage, which impacts the three-pointer more than the two-pointer, because, of course, you're scoring more points with the three-pointer, they're the third worst effective field goal percentage in the league this season. But let's remember, we have Rudy Gay in the first half of that season, more than the first half. That's going to hurt some of those numbers because he's ineffective. Rudy Gay is ineffective. I understand he's a great offensive scorer, but he takes the ball way too often. And I think in the half-court game, they're going to be able to succeed a little better than they had to in the regular season. And when their defense clenches down, they're able to make some breakouts for the Tony Allens, for the Jared Bayless's, for the Mike Conleys. That's going to allow them to score a little better and continue to at least dominate teams that don't do that well. The Clippers rely so much on the dunks, so much on these flashy plays. I think Memphis is able to take those away in a fantastic series that must go 7.
Absolutely going 7. Definitely looking forward to this one. And while the common fan knows the Clippers primarily as Lob City, if you watch them closer, 22.7% of their points come from 3. That is good for 10th best in the NBA. This team very effective from downtown. Matt Barnes is having arguably his best season. Caron Butler has gotten hot for them. They've got Chauncey Billups, who's continued to improve health-wise, and he really is a liability defensively, but he does so much for this team organizationally and is still an effective three-point shooter. This team has a lot of weapons from beyond the arc.
I definitely have to agree with you there, Bobby, but my beef with this Clippers team is definitely with their secondary superstar, Blake Griffin. He is not a superstar, in my opinion. He can have all the flashy plays that he wants, but Chris Paul is the leader of this team, and he needs a second superstar, just like they have in Miami, just like they have in those successful teams. He's not as good as that secondary superstar. Last year, once again, struggling from the free throw line in the playoffs. That's a 63%, 64% from the line. You can't have a guy who's going to the free throw line like that and not helping the team out. He has the flashy plays, but I don't think this guy is going to be able to succeed in the playoffs and allow this team to go forward. And I think that's where the front court for Memphis dominates the Clippers. And I think that's the reason why the Grizzlies are victorious in this series.
One of my big issues with this Clippers, and it certainly applies to Blake Griffin, is that there's too many guys who simply are not mature enough. DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, Lamar Odom, Matt Barnes can lose his temper at times. And they do have players such as Chris Paul, Grant Hill. They've got Chauncey Billups, who can try and keep these players focused, level-headed. But ultimately, the pattern has been in the regular season that when these players lose their cool, it doesn't come back. They lose their focus, and it affects how they play. They simply aren't mature enough. There's too many questions about this team in their half-court offense and their ability to execute, despite the three-point shooting that we just talked about. And half-court defense is a liability for them. DeAndre Jordan is a fantastic shot blocker, provides a lot of SportsCenter top 10 moments. But as a defender, as a fundamental defender on the blocks and down low, and when Marc Gasol takes him out towards the foul line elbow area where he's not as comfortable, absolutely a liability. Blake Griffin, same thing. He's worked hard. He's gotten better this year at the defensive end. Still a liability. Zach Randolph, who is so fundamentally sound, great footwork, great vision, such a good passer. He is someone who can absolutely take advantage of Griffin. And ultimately, I do believe, my prediction is the Clippers win this series in seven, because I think Chris Paul is just such a competitor and such a talent that he can elevate what is a pretty talented cast around him. So I think he can get them out of the first round. As far as getting to the championship, this is not the team that I would hitch my wagon to. Welcome back to Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. Towards the beginning of the show, I talked about not counting the Lakers out. Now, Adam, do you have any belief, any inkling that the Lakers are going to pull off the upset and defeat the second-seeded San Antonio Spurs?
I think this Spurs team, no matter who's out there, because they're so deep, even DeColo can man the point guard position for them for 30 minutes on one night in this series. I just don't think the Lakers have enough firepower, because past that starting lineup, they can't go very deep. And I don't think, you know, you're losing Jordan Hill this season. You're losing Kobe Bryant. You've already lost a very shallow roster and your best player. So it's a terrible situation for a team that, you know, I can't say that Dwight Howard is 100%. Maybe he's 95% as opposed to being 70% at the beginning of the season. And, of course, Pau Gasol is racking up a lot of triple-doubles. And, of course, this team can shoot the lights out if they want some nights. You know, Steve Blake can be a pretty solid point guard a few nights of the year. But I don't think he's going to be able to lead this team like Kobe Bryant was able to lead the team. Meta World Peace, a great player. And this is the reason why they'll be able to win a few games. They can take two games from this first team pretty easily. You know, the two home games, I think they can do that. You know, they can lose the first two and then come home and win the next two. But I just don't think the Lakers will be able to win more than two games. I think the Spurs win in six. I think they're able to do it because the Spurs just have so much power, especially on the outside. They have some great guards that people don't talk about. Of course, the Danny Greens, the Kawhi Leonards, the guys who can shoot from the outside, in addition to Parker and Ginobili, who have been hobbled. But Tim Duncan playing so great at such a high age, I think you just can't look at them as a championship contender, but I think they're better than the Lakers are.
Adam, another role player worth mentioning is Gary Neal, who has really come on strong and thrived in Greg Popovich's system. Another diamond in the rough that the Spurs organization was able to find. And everyone talks about the Lakers getting Steve Nash back for the playoffs. The thing is, Tony Parker, even an injured Tony Parker, is going to destroy Steve Nash in that matchup. Parker can stay with Nash at the defensive end, and offensively, Nash cannot do the same. Parker is going to blow by him, have no trouble getting into the lane, and that's going to open up whatever the Spurs want, whether it's then getting the ball to Duncan, maybe Splitter, or kicking it out for a Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard three, or a Ginobili. It sets up the entire Spurs offense, because Parker's going to be able to get into the paint, attack the basket at will. And Steve Nash in this series, I'm telling you right now, is going to be more of a liability than a positive for Los Angeles.
Very interesting. But then you said earlier that you like this Lakers team. So are you taking them to win this series, though?
I didn't say that I like them. I said you simply cannot 100% definitively rule them out. They're on the mat at about an 8 count right now. There's a chance with those 2 seconds left that they get back up off it. But I see them staying down for the full 10 count. I don't think they make it out of the first round. I think San Antonio wins this series in 6 games, maybe even 5.
Very interesting, because this Spurs team can't be discounted. People have said that these injuries should change this team and be looked down upon. But the Spurs, 7th in offensive efficiency, 3rd in defensive efficiency. People don't talk about the Spurs being a defensive team. They've had some interesting years these past few years as their core three have aged, but they're still a strong defensive team just below Indiana and Memphis. So it's amazing to see that San Antonio was able to do so much this year and been able to sit out a lot of guys, because Popovich, of course, loves to sit out the guys. But they have a chance they do, at advancing, because they don't have to face the Thunder until the Western Conference Finals.
Another factor that I'd like to throw out in this Spurs series is that Meta World Peace's defensive talents don't really come into play in this series, because he's not quick enough to guard Ginobili, and he's most likely going to be matched up with Kawhi Leonard, who is a spot-up shooter, particularly from the corners. So Meta World Peace is going to be playing a lot of help defense, guarding a man who is stationary for the most part. So the Lakers right there lose their best perimeter defender.
It's a very good point. It's an extremely good point, because when you look at all the Spurs doing, they're taking their point guard, they're taking their shooting guard, and they're taking their center and saying, okay, now we're going to spread everybody out. We're going to take – Parker's going to dominate the ball. And then you have Duncan mopping up the inside. But everybody else is going to spread out. So what is Meta World Peace going to do? You're exactly correct. That's a huge part of this, because World Peace is a huge part of shutting down, you know, the Carmelo Anthonys, the Rudy Gays when he was on Memphis, the strong small forwards. And I think that's a big part about this series, because the Spurs really don't do that. They don't have the dominating small forward. They have the MVP candidate in Tony Parker. If he's healthy, they have a shot at moving on and advancing a few series. But this one's the one they want to focus on, and Popovich will have them ready.
One series at a time. There's going to be a lot of nasty, as Popovich likes to say.
That's fantastic. And I want to move on to our next series in the Western Conference. We have the Oklahoma City Thunder. Old friend coming back, their new nemesis, coming to Oklahoma City for Game 1 and Game 2. James Harden, who arguably, I guess, because of all the increase in minutes, he is the most improved player because of all of the increases and all the statistics and everything this year, because James Harden showing he is a star player in this league. Is James Harden going to be able to do anything against this Thunder team? Are the Rockets going to be able to do anything in this series?
Well, let's answer one question at a time here. James Harden, I think, will have a very impressive series. He is just such a terrific scorer. People don't realize how strong he is. Terrific body control when he's up in the air. And I think he is going to score in high volumes and be very impressive. Maybe he gets more attention from the nonchalant NBA fan. As far as the Houston Rockets, no, they're not going to be able to do much in this series. It's not a very good team defensively in the backcourt. They have Chandler Parsons, who's effective defensively. They've got Omer Asik, who I love. But in that backcourt of Lynn and Harden, not the best defensive duo. And so ultimately, I think the Thunder are just too strong, too well-balanced. They have Kevin Durant, who is a better scorer than Harden. And I think they take this one. I think they're probably only going to lose one game. I say Oklahoma City in 5.
I think with the Rockets' chances at you know, having an amazing 3-point shooting game, they might be able to sneak out 2, because they'll have a solid game here or there where Sheik's able to dominate the rebounding, and then they have some great shooting from the outside, or James Harden's able to dominate a game. They have a few different factors that allow them to do well, but they're not going to have a chance in the series. We have the Thunder and the Spurs moving on relatively easy in both of our opinions. Now we move on to our other interesting series, where we're looking at two teams that kind of snuck under the radar recently now, with the Denver Nuggets at the 3 seed and the Warriors at the 6 seed. What do you think happens here between a hobbled Nuggets team and Stephen Curry and the Warriors? Stephen Curry just becoming the first player ever with 270 three-pointers.
This is going to be such an entertaining, fast-paced, high-scoring series. I can't wait to watch this one. Denver scores the highest percentage of its points off the fast break in the NBA, 19%. Golden State ranks 11th in the same category with 14.6% of its points coming off the fast break. Ultimately, Denver plays better in Golden State this season than Golden State has done at the Pepsi Center. I think the Nuggets advance, but this is going to be quite the entertaining series.
Yeah, the Nuggets, best points in the paint per game in NBA history, as far as when points in the paint were tracked since 1996-97, but most likely one of the best all time. And this Nuggets team is very strong, but I'm going with the upset. This Warriors team can shoot from the outside. I don't think they're going to be as tired from the altitude as most teams do when they head into Denver. I think the Denver Nuggets injuries catch up with them, and maybe they even sneak out a few more injuries, unfortunately. Austin has been, you know, hobbled during the season. We don't know what's going to happen with this Nuggets team, and I feel bad for George Karl, but I'm going to go with this Warriors team with the upset. And that was another fantastic episode of Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. You can always tweet your questions to us at the hashtag STWBA. Or you can find me on Twitter at StatsAdam. And Bobby, where can they find you?
You can find me at Bobby_K91. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you're ready to go for the NBA playoffs. Have a fantastic weekend.